On a visit to Carl's mother in Pittsburgh, she asked to go on a few errands, and one of them was to go to the bank. She's much more frail these days, so Carl dropped us off, went to park the car. I held open the door, and she went in, leaning heavily on her cane, looking as frail as I've ever seen her. She went up to the teller window to get some cash for various things, and I hung back, not wanting to intrude on her business. It seemed to be taking a long time, so I finally tuned in to the conversation to hear the teller asking her, "Mrs. Smith, do you have someone who helps you with your bills?" "Oh, yes, my son." "Mrs. Smith, where does he live?" "Oh, here or there." As a middle-class white person, I am not used to being seen as the problem, so it took me a while to take in that this alert teller thought I was scamming this elderly lady, taking advantage of her getting cash out of the bank. The teller rightly was watching out for scammers and predators, and I looked like one to her. It was very interesting to be on that side of the equation. Some of you get that all the time. You are automatically seen as the problem, and it was new for me. In this parable, Jesus is nudging us, as we heard, to know how hard it is to tell the weeds and the wheat apart. The word for weeds here is a very specific gardening word. It's a certain kind of plant that looks exactly like the wheat until it's grown. We remember that the Gospels were written down between the years of 70 and 90, generation or two after the life of Jesus. This is the time when the Jewish believers are dividing into the early church and the synagogue. Members of families are going in different directions. Congregations are of mixed people. One Bible scholar says that she believes Matthew was writing to a mixed Jewish and Gentile congregation, neither group wanting to accept the other, each viewing the other as the weeds and themselves as the true followers of Jesus. Perhaps the Gentile Christians felt they were the wheat, she says, with their freedom from the old rules and their connection to Jesus. Perhaps the Jewish Christians felt that they were the sons and daughters and children of Abraham, so surely they were the wheat. And she says, if we can't be quite sure who's a weed and who is wheat, we're better off not touching anything. So the weeds and the wheat get the same treatment for a while. Both are cultivated, both grow to full size, and then they get sorted out. I wonder how mad those household servants were every day, having to water the dang weeds along with the wheat, having to spend their time on the weeds, having to look at them growing just fine. It's a hard place to be, that limbo time. You've been there. It's the space right after a divorce when you're not sure what your life will be like. It's the space when you're having some medical tests and your head is already spinning ahead to who you want to sing at your funeral, when it may be nothing at all. It's the space where your original family can't support you and you're creating another one. Or you have to figure out a different way to be a parent or a sibling. Or you need to change jobs and you're in that space where you don't have the new job yet. Or you're retiring and you don't yet know how to fill your days and what will be your new place in the world. We're in this weird limbo place all the time in our lives, in our church, in the world around us. We're in it in our relationships and our work and our connections with each other. It's hard not to leap ahead. As someone who peeks ahead to the end of the book, it's hard to be in limbo waiting. In real life, weeds do not turn into wheat. Ordinary plants do not turn into apple trees. But in a parable, anything can happen. With the right amount of sunshine and cultivation, with the right amount of gardening, the right amount of time, a weed can become the wheat. And so Jesus is inviting us into this world of suspended judgment, of waiting to see. When we are sure that someone or something is awful, he invites us into a little space of waiting. When we are really taken with somebody and sure they're the greatest thing ever, he invites us into the space of waiting. How many times have I seen myself as the wheat when really I was more weedy than I realized? How many times has God been so patient with my weeds, turning them into something better? Jesus is inviting us into this space where God does the work alongside us. Father Greg Boyle is more adept and more patient with weeds than anyone I know. And as he works with people coming out of gang life, he tells about Anthony, who was living in an old car someone left on the street. Father Greg asked him what he wanted, and he said he really, really wanted to be a mechanic, but he had no idea how to start. So Father Greg went to his mechanic, Dennis, who he says was a legend in their neighborhood. Dennis could fix any car, he says, a tall, pole-thin Japanese-American. He was a chain smoker. And as Father Greg says, he was not a man of few words. He was a man of no damn words at all. He just smoked. Bring your car in, describe the problem, complaining of some noise or other, some leak or other, Dennis would smoke and listen. And the next day, you'd come back, get your keys, the car would be fixed with nary a word said by Dennis. So Father Greg asked him if he'll take Anthony in, teach him to be a mechanic. He explains that the kid needs a chance, silence. He explains that this will be great, not just for the one kid, but for all the kids, silence. As he says, I get out my top hat and my cane, I talk about the Nobel Peace Prize, world peace, blah, blah, blah. Finally, Dennis says, I will teach him everything I know. And so Anthony became a mechanic. He would show up with updates. I learned to do a lube job. I learned to do a carburetor. I fixed this all by myself. One day, he hands over a photograph. There he is in his work shirt, stained with grease, that says Anthony on the chest. And standing next to him is Dennis. Cigarette in hand, ash about to fall off. No question, looking at Anthony, that he has changed. But looking at Dennis, it's clear that he has changed too. Actually smiling. A changed human being. As Father Greg says, compassion is not a relationship between the healer and the wounded. It's a partnership, a covenant between equals. The weeds and the wheat live in the world together. The weeds and the wheat live in us together. But Jesus says, wait, God is growing something, and it will be revealed. In the bank with Carl's mother that day, I could see how often and how quickly I've misjudged other people, how fast I've labeled people so I could tuck them away in the cabinet of my mind. It amused me to be on the other side of it, learning how faulty our judgments can be. It reminded me sometimes how little we know and how much God knows. God is turning the weeds into wheat when we are willing to be changed. And so, like the servants of God in this parable, we cultivate both. We hold our judgment in suspension. We wait to see what God is up to. We pour our hopes and our prayers into things that seem uncertain. We pray for the weeds to become the wheat. We learn to love the limbo time. We are always waiting to see what the fullness of God has done and what God is up to. Along the way, striving to be less weedy and more like wheat. Even when we don't see it, something is growing, watered by God's grace. Amen.